This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go. We got to have a drive.
23 left.
Will. 1, 2, 3.
It's game day. Now, here's your host, Jeremy White.
Welcome to Buffalo Bills Game Day. Jeremy White with you, with Nate Geary here as well. Back in the saddle after a few weeks. My thanks to my partner, Nate, for holding things down for a little bit there. We're getting you ready for a 1 o'clock kickoff between the Bills and the Dolphins with John Murphy and Eric Wood calling the play-by-play from the Northwest Broadcast Booth. Today's broadcast being presented by Univera Healthcare. Join the NFL and the American Cancer Society in the fight against cancer through the Crucial Catch Initiative. Learn more at NFL.com/Crucial Catch. Univera Healthcare. Compare because you care at univera.business.com. It is a glorious fall morning and fall day on the way. And get comfortable because we've got three straight games here at New Era Field, which is looking just absolutely stunningly beautiful today. Nice, brisk fall morning.
The sun isn't quite on it yet.
Yeah. It's going to be a little bit warmer today, like 60s, maybe. Maybe we'll see how high it gets. But anyway, should be a really comfortable day. And as the weather goes, I think a lot of fans expect the game to be just as pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got a Dolphins team here today that is winless and might go winless for the season. And that might be exactly what they would like to do. So for the Bills, it's back from the bye. See who you are. But, you know, Nate, with this one, it's going to be different from a lot of others because every single person in the stands that's rooting for the Bills, I would think they're going to win.
Yeah.
17-point favorites, winless Dolphins team. Ryan Fitzpatrick, who, you know, we've got a soft spot in our hearts for Fitz. We hope he doesn't have too bad of a day, maybe. Don't get hurt. Their line is a mess. Their weapons are a mess. Their defense is terrible. Everything about this game screams that the Bills should win comfortably and set up some better matchups maybe on down the line. I'll probably be accused of and guilty of overlooking today.
Yes.
But whatever, we're here. So I'm not going to overlook the fact that it's here. There's a game today. And every expectation that they will win this game with relative ease.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
How do the Dolphins score?
Right.
That's
how
what it comes down to.
How do they stop us? How do they stop the Bills from scoring? You know, I guess it really comes into... Jeremy, I was doing a little research yesterday, and I was looking for some, you know, interesting numbers to use, and I found it staggering, Jeremy, that almost every single defensive category, almost every single one for the Miami Dolphins, 32nd. They are 32nd in points given up, 32nd in yards per game given up. They're 26th in pass defense because I think that they're 31st in run defense. So, you know, they're 32nd in DVOA defensively.
Mm-hmm.
They're 32nd in offensive DVOA. They are historically bad. And
yeah, the only reason they're not worse in some categories is because they're so bad in the other one. They can't be bad in the you can't be bad at both.
The other team is spending so much time against that Dolphins defense that the offense is getting some breaks in terms of, you know, how bad it's been. But this really has been a very difficult go for the Miami Dolphins. And you know, I was talking to somebody that works for the Dolphins broadcast and talking about the rebuild that's going on right now in Miami. And you know, I look at it from this standpoint, Jeremy, is I will say this about Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott into year three. They're 4-1, looking very good, like it could be 5-1 and potentially 6-7-1 if they can take care of business at home the next 2 weeks. But the thing that I look at is they avoided what the Dolphins are doing, which is just go to the absolute bottom and do sort of what Oakland did, which is, you know, get all of these first-round picks. They get 2 first-round picks for Laremy Tunsil. They've got 3 first-round picks this year, 2 next year, a bunch of second-round picks. They've got a ton of draft capital. But the Bills got a bunch of draft capital, too. It wasn't 3 first-round picks. But they managed to win 6 games, 9 games, and acquire enough talent to get their franchise quarterback, to get a franchise middle linebacker, and they did it with dignity. Yeah, you know, like it's so bad right now for Miami that it's got to be difficult for a guy like Brian Flores, who's coming from the
Patriots yeah.
to come over here to Miami and be a part of what is just one of the more embarrassing teams that is being fielded in the last two or three decades. And I mean, if it works and they end up with Tua Tagovailoa and they end up with all of these, you know, CeeDee Lamb, and they have all of these, you know, high caliber offensive and defensive players over the next two drafts, then maybe, you know, I'll eat my words. But the problem is, and you're seeing why the Bills are having success now, is the depth that they've built. And the depth isn't built in an offseason or two. It took them two seasons to really build the depth of the roster that they needed to do it. They still haven't. I think they could still build at the top of this Bills roster, but they did such a good job building from the bottom up. And the Dolphins are going to have a really, really long way to build the depth that the Bills have built in just 2 years. I don't know. It's not that I totally disagree with how they're building the team, but I mean, benching Josh Rosen after naming him the starting quarterback, what are you learning
right.
from Ryan Fitzpatrick playing quarterback? You're not. It's nothing. I don't know. It's just been very confusing as an outsider. I don't claim to know about the Dolphins any more than a average fan who watches them. But it's been a lot for them to start this season, and it doesn't seem to be getting better anytime soon. And you know, good for Ryan Fitzpatrick that he's getting some more opportunities in the league. But I mean, you've got a young quarterback you traded assets for who is in his second season. It behooves you to find out whether or not this is a guy that you could potentially build around, not have to take, you know, Tua at first overall, second overall, or something like that. So, yeah, you know, there's two teams right now at the bottom of the league in Cincinnati and Miami that, and Washington. I mean, this season, there has been some bad football being played. And it is to the advantage of the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are sitting in a position in the AFC that I just don't remember the AFC being this bad, Jeremy. It is bad.
It definitely appears to be going through a bit of a transition. I mean, injuries are a part of that, right? The Steelers are a little bit lost.
The Chargers?
The Chargers appear to be lost. You know, some of these teams that you normally consider to be I mean, Andrew Luck's disappearance also,
right?
You know, his retirement. But the Colts aren't bad. So you've got
just not Andrew Luck.
No.
Yeah.
I think this goes in the NFC a little bit too with the Saints, who are missing Drew Brees, but again, Teddy Bridgewater appears to be doing fine. It's a bit of a funny year like that. The thing about the Dolphins, I would say, they, you know, all the points you're making about naming Josh Rosen the starter and then deciding, never mind, forget about that. There are only two reasons that they would pull, maybe two or three reasons they would pull back on that. One being they really think that Fitz gives them a better chance to win and Brian Flores wants to win. Okay. Mm. The better reason to do it would be because, well, we still might get something for him, and we're not getting anything for Ryan Fitzpatrick. So let's not put any more terrible tape out there.
I guess that could be right.
It's possible.
Yeah, that's possible.
This offseason, if they're going to draft Tua, then maybe come draft day, a team like the Titans calls, and they offer Rosen to whoever, the Titans, for a sixth-round pick. He might have some value. I mean, they have basically, they appear to have, with Flores, they change their minds, right?
Yes,
Rosen,
very quickly.
So you want to say there's no direction. But there is a direction. The only direction is lose.
Yeah.
And stockpile picks and start over. And I think there's a good conversation to be had here about, you know, is there anything wrong with what they're doing? Does anybody have any problems with what they're doing? Because, you know, it would be called the tank. And
sure.
I guess the difference is, and one of the reasons that people like myself are pro what Miami is doing is – maybe not from a standpoint of stripping every player off the roster. You could have kept Laremy Tunsil. You could have kept Kenny Stills. You know, there are other ways to do it. You don't have to get rid of everybody. But the difference between winning two and winning four, it really...
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't make...
It kills your draft stock, you know?
Right, exactly. So...
Could be the difference between of picking two or eight.
Right.
Or seven, you know? So that's a lot.
If they want to pick as high as they can in each and every round, and, again, they're doing it the way that you should, which is... getting multiple picks. Mm-hmm. It's not very different from fantasy football. If you're in a dynasty league and you know you're bad, find a team that is going to take some of your players, get first-round picks, and roll. So Miami already has three in the upcoming draft. It'll be interesting to see how quickly they can turn it around. It'll also be interesting to see who's there for it to happen. If I'm Brian Flores, I mean, I don't know why anyone would think he will make it to year three of this. They
yeah.
will win zero games this year, and then next year, what, with a rookie quarterback and a lot of different pieces in there, be optimistic. Six? You know, you're now 6-26,
mm-hmm.
and...
It's not easy like, to get
right.
another year after that. Like it's and that's kind of the point of when I said, you know, the Bills did a rebuild with dignity. I mean, they did one with a franchise that really, 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 really needed to have a coach and GM get to year three
right.
because they had just been burning through them at an unsustainable rate.
Yeah, the Bills needed that. And the other thing the Bills needed was a coach and a GM that were on the same page.
Yes.
And brought in on pretty close the same timeline. I know that McDermott gets hired before Brandon Bean does, but you know you want to be on the same page. And this organization spent a lot of time claiming to be in lockstep mm-hmm. or whatever, and it was always this fluid kind of scenario where a coach would get fired, a GM would stay, a GM would get fired, and now you have a management group that appears to be stable and appears to have done a pretty nice job through 3 years. You know, you don't have to agree with every decision that they made along
right.
the way, but where they sit heading to today's game, 17-point favorites against a division rival, looking to go to 5-1 and looking to just continue to cruise towards a playoff spot. I mean, they're sitting pretty, and I think there's a lot to be said for that. Our phone number is 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Give us a call on today's game, and if you want to throw it in, on the Dolphins and what it's like to be in that spot. Think back to when the Bills did this, what Miami is doing. They never went that far down. But, you know, they traded away players that they felt weren't going to help them in the long term, and they got draft capital for it. They moved down in the draft and did not take Patrick Mahomes because they wanted draft capital, right? That wasn't trading away a player that was on your team, like Laremy Tunsil, but it was very much a, no, we know we're going to need some of these picks. We're going to need to get extra capital to get the quarterback, and they did that. They did it for Josh Allen. So, you know, there are a couple different ways to do it. You can stockpile assets and then spend them to move to number seven, or you can stockpile assets and finish with the first pick and, you know, have more, I guess, ground to make up over time. 803-0550. So for this game today, 17-point favorites, and I'll tell you what I'm expecting here, Nate. I'm expecting Josh Allen to break out. I don't know about breakout. He's had a couple breakout games. He's had a couple of really impressive games. We are still talking about the elusive quest for the 300-yard passing game,
mm-hmm.
which I have pretty much no doubt that if they really set their minds to it, they could probably get that today. They could probably get that, not most weeks, but there are probably a handful of games he has already played where if the mission was to get to 300, it would have happened.
I know you feel this way, because I think we've talked about this before, is... So far this season, I don't ever watch this offense and think, this just isn't an offense that can pass for 300 yards. It's never been a thing that I don't think this offense is capable of doing week in and week out. So far, they're 4-1. They haven't needed it.
No,
and
right.
there is going to come a point at some point this season, and it might be next week, that you need your quarterback to throw for 300 yards. Your offense needs to beat the team that they're facing through the air. And I don't know that this is the matchup that they need it, but I do think it's a matchup that probably favors a quarterback being able to throw 300 yards against this team. The question is, what type of offense does this team play if they're up 21, 24, 27,
right.
nothing?
Do they send a message?
But
do they just practice things? You know,
yes.
I almost.
Do you take some deep shots because you're not really worried about the consequence of Josh Allen throwing an interception? Let's open it up a little bit. I think that this is a really good opportunity. This is a good game and an opportunity for this offense to put their foot on a throat of a team, which they really just threw. It's been the one thing about this offense is through five games, you keep thinking, man, this team is, they're letting the other offense, they let the Bengals hang around. They let Eli Manning and the New York Giants hang around. They let Sam Darnold hang around. You know, they haven't been able to just put a team away. And maybe this week, this is a game plan that might allow them to, let's practice just putting a team away. Let's make sure that up 24-0, we are still remaining aggressive and we're going after it and trying to get to 31. So, like that's what I look at today. But, yeah, for the most part, I have never felt that this offense at any point this year isn't capable of throwing for 300 yards in a given game, which it would be nice for them to do it. to make everyone else feel better about it, and really just maybe the fact that Kyle Orton's the last Bills quarterback to throw for 300 yards in regulation. I'd like that to be a stat that we no longer have to talk about. But yeah, I think Josh Allen's coming off his most efficient performance. 71% completion percentage, 219 yards, 2 touchdowns 2 weeks ago against a good Titans defense. Again, I do want to point out that that Titans defense is a top six unit. They are a good defense. The Bills did some good things. They didn't score at the rate they should have. They got a couple breaks. They had 4 missed field goals or whatever it was. So yeah, I mean, the Bills are getting breaks, but I think eventually what we'd like to see here is they're still 10th in yards offensively. So what is really the true barometer of the offense? Is it, are they closer to the top 10 unit they are through yards, or are they closer to the bottom unit of scoring? And which of those is maybe a truer barometer of what this offense is? And I'm not sure I have the answer to that question quite yet. I still think the jury's still out on this offense. But as the weeks go on, I think you're going to learn more and more over the next 2 or 3 weeks. They don't play very good defenses. The Eagles defense gave up 355 yards to Kirk Cousins, who up to this point hadn't thrown for like 250 all year. So, you know, Josh Allen, this Bills passing offense is going to have some opportunities this week, next week, to show that they are a legitimate passing offense. And I'm going to tell you this right now, Jeremy. The Bills are the second most frequent pass happy offense.
I know.
Adjusted pass percentage.
Right.
They rank only below the Kansas City Chiefs.
Which is amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah,
we have wanted.
Yeah. If you take out garbage time trying to make up points in passing and killing a clock with running, who runs it and who passes it? Yeah. The only team that passes it more on the ratio of run pass, the only team passing more is the Chiefs. And right there with the Bills, the top five are. The Bills are ahead of Cliff Kingsbury's Cardinals.
Yes.
The air raid offense.
Yes.
So, you know, to say that they trust their quarterback is most definitely an understatement. And I guess, you know, of all the developments so far this year, I think that's maybe the best one, is that they've seen that whoever they're playing against, whatever the matchups are, this isn't a run-and-stop-the-run team.
Mm-hmm.
This is a let's throw it around because Allen has been fairly accurate.
And this is how we built the offensive roster.
Right.
You know?
The line can hold up. The guys that they've got in Brown and Beasley can get open. You know, the deeper passing game has yet to kind of show up, but maybe today's the day for that. What you say about that run-pass ratio is it's not lost on me. It kind of feels like, like of all the things you could have predicted, who would have thought they were 4-1? Well, I think a lot of people might have thought they had a chance to be 4-1. But if I had told you at the start of the season, you know, they're going to be number 2 in pass-to-run ratio, I mean, you'd ask.
I might have called you crazy.
Right, like what happened?
Yeah.
What that
are they down that much that they need to pass the football?
And it's not even that they're doing it. It's that, you know, this team talks a lot like they want to be able to run. And we'll see what happens maybe when the weather turns. I mean, Sean McDermott in conversations with us and interviews with us has even still said about being able to run the football when the weather changes. So, you know, 3 straight home games here. I expect it to be relatively nice each week. 2 December home games against Baltimore. Do they get away from this because they think that running is more beneficial in the colder weather? We'll see. You know, it's a big time work in progress, and it's something we've got to watch play out. But yeah, I mean, Devin Singletary is a big part of this too.
Absolutely,
right? We're going to want to probably see more of Devin Singletary, and it's worth asking, if Singletary had not missed the last couple weeks, are they still number 2, or are they maybe leaning on him a little bit more because they see that he's a dynamic playmaker who can make guys miss, who can get to the second level? So Singletary, if he does go today, if he's ready to go 100%, gets a full workload, that could be exciting too, because, you know, we got that little taste early on, and then the pulled hamstring forced him out. So for Singletary, it'd be nice, right? Nice to get him back. He's a big part of this offense. At least it feels like he can be a big part of this offense.
I'm interested in what the screen game looks like with Devin Singletary. They don't have a screen game right now, and it's the one area that I think that they could improve in that will easily bring Josh Allen's yards per game up if they could execute 2 or 3 running back screens in a game. I think not only that, it's going to help them extend drives. Where they really struggle are between the 30s. They really struggle once they have to be at midfield. When they start at their own 20, at their own 25, I mean, they have double digit, I think they're up to double digits right now. 9 or 10 drives of 80 or more yards where they are 75 yards or more. They're just taking it the course. But they can't seem to figure it out in between the 30s. And I think that's the one area where I think that if they can improve a little, and maybe the screen game helps. Hell, I'll say this. Isaiah McKenzie's been a really nice piece for this offense. He gets 3 or 4 touches a game, and he is making the most of those touches.
You know, it's funny. It's almost impossible to kind of put together. How can you become the number 2 pass to run ratio, but also have the long drives?
Yeah.
Right? The long time possession drives you would think are a run heavy team, and a pass heavy team you wouldn't think would have these 80 yard, 90 yard drives. So the offense has been, it's been good against bad teams, and yet you still kind of wonder, can it keep up with the big guys? That's really what this comes down to. And today's not exactly a day to find that out, right?
No, not quite. But it is interesting, though, is how this offense will continue to try to beat teams. And I love now, and this is my theory, too. I mean, you have Tyler Kroft, who is another player that they really liked, who's now back from injury in the lineup. They now, instead of having, and this is no offense to Tommy Sweeney, who I thought has played pretty well when asked and when called upon, but now you have a legitimate NFL tight end who's pairing with a tight end in Dawson Knox, who has been damn good to start his career. Maybe the best of the bunch of the tight ends drafted in last year's draft class, and there were some big names drafted in that tight end draft class. So you add those two, you now have a pretty significant 1-2 punch at the tight end position as pass catchers. Devin Singletary is a guy now that he can get involved in the passing game. Here's the thing too, Jeremy, is we mentioned how pass happy this offense is. They still rank 6th in rushing. So they're passing the 2nd most in football. But their efficiency running the football is really what's standing out, because Josh Allen isn't breaking off those 100-yard games that he was last year. So they're efficient running the football in limited carries. I mean, Devin Singletary's got 7 carries of 10 or more yards, and he's got 10 total carries.
I know.
So, you know, he's really just the efficiency in which the Bills are running the football would maybe we'd want to argue maybe they should run the football more. But I think that there is this effort that, listen, you know what they're not going to not have to worry about at the end of this year, Jeremy? They're not going to have to worry about not knowing what they have at the quarterback position.
Yeah,
passing at the 2nd most rate in the NFL, by the end of this season, you are going to know whether or not Josh Allen is the guy or he's not the guy.
Or,
or at least whether or not he's going to be a guy that you think can get better next year.
Exactly. You're going to know what level of guy he is at that point.
And hasn't that been our biggest fear, though? After year 2, we still don't know anything about Josh Allen?
Right. Maybe. We'll see.
I think we do. Today, I think we will.
Today could be a banner day for everybody. It's the Dolphins. Be sure to tune in 12:30 today following the roundtable for Eric Wood with Sean McDermott, brought to you by Lawler & Witkowski, Buffalo's local team of IRS tax problem solvers. Visit irsdistress.com. And as you're getting out there, 3 straight weeks in a row, don't forget Federal Meats. From Buffalo's best burgers and pulled pork to must-have party essentials like stuffed mushrooms, banana peppers, and chicken wing dip, we do have the bacon-wrapped fillets over at the tailgate. Because they were on special this week, and you probably heard me talking about it, hope you took advantage. Taste the difference Fresh makes at Federal Meats.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. I've heard all about it, heard the stories. I had the opportunity to come up and play here a few years ago. But it's awesome when they're there, your fans, and cheering for you guys. I love the support and the energy on game day. It's awesome.
Tyler Kroft, Bills tight end, here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Jeremy White with Nate Geary, getting you ready for this kickoff between the Bills and the Dolphins. And I can let you know, this portion of Bills Game Day is presented by Computer Search Payroll Services, Buffalo's payroll service with Buffalo prices. And stay tuned following today's game for the Coaches Show. Head Coach Sean McDermott live during the Bills postgame show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive, celebrating 50 years of serving Western New York. Whatever you need, whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Bills, Dolphins, weather report. Nate, what do we got for the weather?
It is beautiful. 60, a high of 60 today, 61, I think, and no real wind to worry about. There's no rain in the forecast. It is as good of an October football game as you could possibly. I mean, you could draw it up, it'd be this good today.
65 is what I'm looking at for the high around 4 o'clock today.
Can't beat that.
Yeah. One thing that's going to be fun if Devin Singletary does go today, this would be his home debut. He has missed the last few games. He would have
not even on the injury report this week.
No. So
that's nice.
That could be good. Could see him get limited duty. Could see him break out against the Dolphins. Some stats for you. Sal Capaccio has a piece up at WGR550.com on what to watch for and has some stats on the Dolphins' defense. So, you know, why are Bills fans so confident today? Here are about five reasons. The Dolphins have one interception this year. Only Arizona is without one. So 31st in interceptions. They are 32nd in sacks. They have five sacks this year, the Dolphins. They have only hit a quarterback 15 times. 15 wow. quarterback hits, that's last in the league. Their yards per attempt.
That's remarkable.
The yards per attempt passing against Miami is just under 10. 9.7 yards per attempt. Yards per completion, the average yard per completion against the Dolphins, Nate, is 13.7. And they have a grand total, the Dolphins do, of 9 tackles for loss this year. The next closest team has twice as many. So
it's amazing.
That's what you're looking at. I saw a stat that the Dolphins' pass defense is so bad that what they are giving up is Patrick Mahomes' MVP season to everybody. Basically, you take Mahomes' MVP season, that's what's happening against the Dolphins on a weekly basis. So, let's see that 300,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
I need side action on a day like today, playing a winless team. Let's go 300 yards passing. Get Josh Allen over 300 and see what happens. If it doesn't, you know, it's not that big a deal. I fully expect them to win, to control things from start to finish. And, well, for Ryan Fitzpatrick, when they announced who was going to start this week, the Dolphins, I felt like there was actually a drawing of straws and the short straw had to start.
Yeah.
Who would want to come into this environment
against this defense
with no help?
Your starting center out, your offensive line who's decimated from the trade that you made.
Yeah.
Your running game, which is non-existent.
Who would want to go in for that? So Ryan Fitzpatrick won the right to start or lost the right to start?
Yeah, whichever one. But, you know, I think a lot of people felt like a little worried. Like they would rather see Josh Rosen. Like that was kind of the sentiment you got this week when the announcement was made.
Because
occasionally, oh, no, not Fitzy.
Right. Fitz has, another stat I saw this week, Fitz has as many 4-touchdown games as Joe Montana in his career, or maybe more 4-touchdown games than Joe Montana because, you know, it's more of a passing league now. We can do a lot of stats like that. But the point simply being that every once in a while, Fitz shows up and surprises a team and beats the Saints on opening day last year with the Bucs. I don't have any fear of that. That Bucs team had some help. That Bucs team would have had weapons for Fitz to use. This Dolphins offense doesn't. They're talking about trading Kenyon Drake. Their weapons at receiver, and Preston Williams is a good lowly ranked guy. I mean, he was undrafted, I believe, and looks like a nice future piece, but it's just got to be tough for this Dolphins team. What could they possibly how are they going to score? It's just the question's going to be over and over. How are they going to score?
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's going to be a party today. And we've had some pretty good atmospheres here at New Era Field. The Cincinnati game, that was about as loud as I've ever heard the stadium. I was not here for the Patriot game, but I'd imagine that had to be as loud as it's ever been.
Yeah.
Right? We're just kind of ramping things up each and every week. And this one, I don't know. I just think it could be a party. You might not have your big, loud third down make a stop that you do when you're playing a New England team.
When you're up 24-0, horn isn't as loud as it sounds right. like when it's a tie football game.
It's a little different. But then again, you know, you could probably have some fun at the Dolphins' expense.
Yeah.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. If you'd like to join us, our text line is down. So you're gonna have to call in if you want to give us a thought on today's game. On this defense, other things to watch for is we look for firsts that could happen. Ed Oliver is looking for a sack, right? Ed Oliver is looking for a sack. I think you've got the Bills' first-round pick, rookie, playing pretty well. Most people seem to be pretty happy with how Ed Oliver has played. And this week, when talking about Oliver, Sean McDermott had some interesting comments. He talked about how he's pleased, and then he kind of walked that back about being pleased and didn't say he was displeased, but it was an interesting conversation, an interesting comment from McDermott at his weekly presser to pull that back and talk about how he's satisfied or how when you're a player like Ed Oliver, a young player in this league, you know, you can't take any plays off. It's all about effort, 100% effort, every play. And I think he was crediting Oliver with the work that he's done while also
wanting more.
Well, subtly, yeah. I think, suggesting that more's there and, you know, it's something that a young player, you might learn over time. That not that you're actively taking any plays off, but just that over time you learn how to play on this level and in this league. So Oliver, you know, he's been talking about it. He says he's got a sack dance ready. He's just been wanting to get after the quarterback. And there have been a couple times this year where the Bills get to the quarterback and I think, it's Ed Oliver. No, it's Jordan Phillips.
Yeah.
So, like, that'd be a nice thing to watch for today.
Yeah.
A nice thing to get today for the rookie in a home game.
Yeah, like you mentioned, and I think Sean McDermott mentioned, it's not that he hasn't been playing well. He has been playing well. I think it's just the point he hasn't made a lot of box score stats. And this could certainly be a game that turns around. And Oliver kind of seems like the guy that needs to get a couple under his belt to get him the confidence he needs. And listen, I mean, you have to remember, this is a player that didn't play at all last season for Houston. He's also coming from a level of play at the University of Houston that is not going up against legitimate NFL interior offensive linemen. He's getting double teamed a bunch when he's in there, which I think speaks to how teams prepare for this defense in Ed Oliver. So, you know, I think as the season moves along and he may be faced with more and more double teams. But I would think, you know, today's the kind of game where you could get him in the backfield quite a few times. And let's see if he could get his first career sack here in Buffalo. That'd be a great way to kick things off here on the 3-game homestand, which I know you're excited about. But this 3-game homestand couldn't have come at a better time for the Bills. Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, they're 4-1. They get the early bye week. They are, you know, knock on wood, they are very healthy going into this game, other than a couple of season-ending injuries. They're the healthiest they've been since week one. So this bye week in the 3-game homestand, the subsequent 3-game, like, this worked out really well for the Bills. And they're in really good position to be in second place in the AFC after 8 or 9 weeks. And that's a story, man. Like,
well,
that's a story.
Yeah, I will say, I think the race to watch is the division. I'm not watching the wild card race until it appears that it's a race. Right now, the Bills are looking in their rearview mirror, and the objects are not that close. The Patriots are closer than the competition from the back.
Yes.
Right? I guess that's what I'm trying to say. It feels that way, at least. You know, you look at other wild card teams. I've got the Texans at 4-2. I've got the Colts, maybe. In that division, at least, those two probably fight for a wild card spot. Maybe Oakland is in this discussion as well, but I just think the Bills, with their schedule, the way things line up, I think you should be looking forward at New England more than you should look behind you at the teams in the wild card race. And that could change, but this week, there's one game this week where Tennessee and the Chargers, right? Titans Chargers is today.
Mm-hmm.
One of those teams goes to 5 losses. So, see ya.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to run the table, so I'm taking them out of the mix. The Raiders play in Green Bay today. I mean, can they beat the Packers? If they beat the Packers, it's time to take the Raiders seriously.
Yeah, for sure.
But if they don't, you know, that's 3-3. You know, just scrolling through, like, the rest of the teams that we normally worry about here. I don't. That's one team, yes, to worry about.
And then the Jets are, their
the Jets
schedule's
have the,
easy.
The Jets have the easiest remaining schedule. I don't worry about the Jets, and I don't worry about the Browns, but I've said it since, like, week one. They have the schedule that lines up. Just don't bury them. They could get to 3-6 and be set to go 10-6.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they have a bye this week. They play New England next week. They're probably going to be the subject of a lot of, you know, it's everything falling apart.
Their margin for error, though, gets smaller and smaller as the season goes along.
Yeah, it does. And they've had some tough losses, and they've had some turnovers from Baker Mayfield, and they've had some, you know, big gaffes from Freddie Kitchens. So I don't think the Bills have to worry about the Browns passing them, and because you play the Browns later in the season too, which might be a big game, might be an opportunity to kind of put them down if it comes to that. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, if you would like to join us here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Join us. It's game day. 3 straight games at home. Hey, be listening for the ECMC Halftime Show with Nate Geary. ECMC, go where the Bills go. Nate and Sal recap the key moments of the first half and bring you up to date on the Latempio complete stats of the game. Latempio PC Law Group, complete attention, complete answers, complete counsel.
He's a savvy vet. He's a lot more elusive than people think he is. He throws the ball down the field. He's not scared to lower his shoulder. He's just a hell of a player, honestly. He's dynamic. He can run a little bit, you know, and he's just he's a playmaker, honestly.
And did you know he went to Harvard?
He did go to Harvard.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, that's who Jordan Phillips is speaking of right there, talking about Fitz. WGR Sports Radio 550 and Bryland Behavioral Health System are teaming up to tackle depression. To learn more, call 886-8200 or go to Bryland.com. With help, there's hope. Jordan Phillips, a monster in the Bills' last game against Tennessee. An absolute monster. They got after the quarterback quite a bit. And today would expect more of the same. Them to get after the quarterback, Jordan Phillips, Ed Oliver, Jerry Hughes. You know, we should see some decent pressure on Ryan Fitzpatrick. Josh Allen today, good fantasy play. Everybody's a good fantasy play against the Dolphins, I would say. Allen, Brown, Gore maybe, Singletary, even with limited carries, whatever. Everybody's a good play, especially the Bills' defense might be a really good play. 803-0550 to Dan in North Tonawanda. Dan, good morning. You're on Buffalo Bills game day.
Good morning, gentlemen. Last segment, you made a comment that really resounded with me when you said if the Bills get to 7-1, it would be a story. And what I agree with you, but I'm curious to think if the national media would actually view that as a true story, because everything that I'm seeing now, it seems like there's this double standard that revolves around strength of schedule, where a lot of the stronger teams in the NFL right now have beaten a lot of the same nobodies, if you will. And what I'm really kind of curious to see is, what do you think it would take? Because I guarantee you, no one's going to give you any credit if you thump Miami today, because everybody's doing that. But moving forward, what does this Bills team need to do to be truly taken seriously?
Thanks, Dan. It's a good question.
It's a good question.
I think you could rank their opponents and rank the games that would change minds. Number one is New England. That's way later in the season, and they already had their New England game. Number two is maybe the Eagles.
Baltimore?
Probably Baltimore, but again, that's still December. So I think you're right. Nobody gives you credit for beating the Dolphins, because everybody does it, and everybody beats them pretty badly except for Washington, who everyone else thinks is terrible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they could be 5-1 and still kind of be an under-the-radar team that hasn't.
You have to beat the Eagles.
Sure.
The Eagles is the
next step. Yeah. And after the Eagles, the Browns are in there.
Uh-huh.
You know, they you can have a full season where you didn't play anybody and you get in.
Yeah.
And
you're in.
Right. And it doesn't really matter what people think of your wins. Now you're in the tournament. And once you're in the tournament, you play the teams that got there the same way, whoever they beat. So, I think what you're asking is, what's got to happen for the Bills to be number three in a power ranking?
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
I want to say, like, wait till next year.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that is reputation. A lot of that is, you know, not being surprised by what a team does. And you don't have to look at who they beat. When New England hasn't beaten anybody, nobody cares, right? They beat the Steelers on opening day. Were the Steelers going to be bad this year? But New England gets the top spot in a power ranking because they're the Patriots.
They're the Patriots.
We've seen them beat everybody all the time. So, you know, part of me wants to say wait till next year, and the other part says there's no reason to care about a power ranking.
San Francisco's fighting this a little too. The difference is San Francisco is beating teams 40-17, and the Bills are coming in and beating team 17-16 and 28-14 and almost losing to the Bengals, you know. Mm-hmm. So some of these, the optics of some of their wins certainly haven't helped their case. But to that point, I just think you just need to beat the teams that other people in the national media might say, all right, well, if the Bills are legit, they beat team A. They beat this team. And I think that starts next week with Philadelphia. I mean, Philadelphia isn't, you know, in the top of their division. They're not really threatening in the NFC right now, but they've got a good quarterback. They've got a good front seven on defense. And, you know, teams are thrown on them. And that's a game for me that if you're legit, Josh Allen's got to throw for 300 yards. You got to win that football game.
Well, I mean, one team that has done this, pulling up the Ravens' schedule right now.
Yeah, it's...
Who have they beat?
It's pretty, you know, pretty similar.
You could do a lot of who has this team beat, but today's a day to pad, I mean, I'm going to say this, to pad your stats. How did Baltimore start the season?
they burst onto the scene with 59 burger against this Dolphins team. So hang 42 on them. And then when, you know, you see your power rankings or you see the national media having a conversation about the Bills, like, man, I mean, you know, everybody beats Miami, but did you see that game? The defense didn't give up a right. I guess you have to ask yourself, do you care about style points? Some fans don't, and some fans do. And, you know, if you do, then today's a day to ask for some style points.
A one-score game, a win by less than double digits in this game would not be good for
them. If they have to sweat in the fourth quarter and get a missed field goal, then you'll have fans arguing with each other. Some will say, hey, a win's a win, and others will say, but if you look like that against that team, you're not a true contender.
Yep.
So it's almost like there's a no-win situation today. You got to win big just to kind of hold serve. 803-0550. Good phone call, Dan. Thanks for calling. More of your calls up next. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go. Here we go. We got to have a drive.
23 left. 23 left.
Will. 1, 2, 3.
It's game day. Now, here's your host, Jeremy White.
Good morning, Buffalo, and the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, and to Buffalo Bills Nation, Bills Mafia, everybody, wherever you might be. Jeremy White with Nate Geary and Sal Capaccio joining us for this segment as we get you ready for a 1 o'clock kickoff between the Bills and the Dolphins with John Murphy and Eric Wood calling the play-by-play from the Northwest Broadcast Booth. Today's broadcast is being presented by Univera Healthcare. Join the NFL and the American Cancer Society in the fight against cancer through the Crucial Catch Initiative. Learn more at NFL.com/Crucial Catch. Univera Healthcare. Compare because you care at Univera for business. com. And this portion of Bills Game Day is presented by Computer Search Payroll Services, Buffalo's payroll service with Buffalo prices. Sal, good morning.
How are you guys?
Great. Three in a row here.
Yeah, this is a start of a homestand for the Bills that, you know, I think anybody reasonably could look at and say they need to win two of three. They can get three of three. But if they go away with anything less than two, I think it would be a disappointment.
I would almost say a disaster if they go 1-2. I mean, the Washington and Miami, I want to say that 2 weeks from now we'll be treating the Washington game a lot like this one.
Probably.
Maybe not as much. I mean, Washington did beat Miami, so we could venture a guess that they're a little bit better.
Little.
But yeah, today's an odd one, Sal. It's almost like, if I may, this must be like what it feels like when the Patriots play a team that they know our team is superior, and I'm not only going to see a win, but I'd like to see some stuff. You know, there are going to be fans here wanting some style points. And if you don't get any, that doesn't have to mean anything. But it just feels like the kind of game where expectations are, let's see Josh wing it. Let's see the deep ball. Let's see Devin Singletary in his first game here at New Era Field. So there's some things beyond just winning and losing today. At least that's my read on it.
That's true. But here's the thing I want to caution people. I've seen way too much of this week people saying, well, they have to throw for 300 yards. They have to throw for four touchdowns. They have to score a certain amount of points. I think a lot of these are unrealistic expectations. It doesn't matter how bad the Dolphins are. Here's the fact. The Dolphins have only allowed two teams to throw for over 300 yards. You know why? Because everybody runs on them because they're up so big in the second half.
Yeah.
So if you go away from this game with Josh Allen throwing for 250 and a couple touchdowns, well, that's okay.
Right, I'm not going to be worried about
it. Yeah, but the expectations, I think some people are putting unreasonable expectations on this Bills team to do certain things and hit certain benchmarks today simply because it's the Dolphins. You can't do that. It's about going out there, and they should dominate them. They should win the game handily and comfortably. But you know what, guys? If they score 24 points, okay. Mm. They don't have to get to 30.
No.
That's not who they are necessarily, but win the game comfortably, win the game handily. What we should be saying is at the end of the game, they were never threatened.
Sure.
That's it. They were never threatened. It doesn't matter how many yards they got. Doesn't matter how many points they scored. They were really never threatened.
Well, one reason I think if you want the Bills to throw for a big number today, one reason to maybe expect it is not because Miami's bad at defending the pass, but as we pointed out, Sal, and you had the stat too, that the Bills are number two in pass percentage.
Yeah.
So you might get to 300 because you're a passing team, you know?
Right.
Like, think about that. The Chiefs are number one. The Bills are number two.
It's situational. It's not overall, but yes.
Right.
In basic game flow of the game.
Yeah, in game neutral kind of stuff.
Yes,
not garbage time.
Correct.
Like when they came out against the Jets and threw 16
That's
in a
right.
row, you might get a big day out of Josh Allen because while the Dolphins don't stop anything, the Bills' identity so far has been, no, we throw it
We
now.
Throw the football. We
and
throw
on it. Top of that, you're playing against, as Nate said this morning, a historically bad, not only defense, pass defense. Mm-hmm. They are allowing opposing quarterbacks a 131.0 rating.
The yards,
that is
crazy.
Amazing.
That's crazy.
The yards per attempt is 9.7.
Yeah. They have 5 sacks in 5
They're
games.
They're damn near, every time they throw the football, almost getting a first down every time they throw the football. It's unbelievable.
Right. Snap.
It's unbelievable.
Right. That's basically, here's their pass defense. Snap. Ooh, they're going to have to measure that one, right? It's to the sticks.
That's what it is.
The average attempt, which is saying something. I mean, we sound like three guys that are, you know, way beyond this game being close. And I'm sure someone out there saying, hey, you know, it's a week-to-week league, any given Sunday. I get all that. And whatever. I mean, if I overlook the Dolphins, nothing's going to happen. I don't think the Bills – you've been talking about this a lot this year and going back a while, Sal – there's almost no chance that the Bills overlook the Dolphins.
No, and you know, what's funny is we talk about this usually when they play a team like the Patriots or a really good team, which is they don't change their routine. They don't say, oh, it's the Patriots. We got to change. We got to get up. We got to be emotionally better. No. They stay at one spot. They go, they do their job on Monday and Tuesday, they have off, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, practice is the same. Now, this situation, it's the other way, it's the other extreme. This is why you're like that. It's not just because when you're playing teams like the Patriots or you're in a playoff game like Jacksonville that you're teaching your team to stay consistent every day, the same thing all the time. It's also for situations like this where you have an opponent you should beat down, but you don't want anything to change and you want everybody to approach everything the same. And today, that's what their challenge is, and I think they'll be fine at it because that is what Sean McDermott has hammered into them. And quite frankly, I think that's what we've seen from this team. They really are like that. They don't have any different tone to them, no matter who they're playing and no matter what the situation.
803-0550, Sal Capaccio with me, Jeremy White, and Nate Geary here on Buffalo Bills Game Day. We'll get your calls in. Get your questions in for Sal and anything you have got on your mind for today's game. Gene in Hamburg. Gene, good morning.
Good morning. What I want to say about Josh and what I like about him is last year.
Did we lose Gene.
Did we lose Gene? Let me try this again. I might have done that. Gene, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Gene, go ahead. Start over again.
That was my fault.
Josh Allen is very coachable. Last year, he was getting sacked all the time, so he gets rid of the ball down the field, but it gets intercepted this year. So then he was coached to throw the ball away instead of going for the long ball and getting intercepted. And he's very coachable. He learns and he listens. That's what I like about Josh.
All right. Yeah, it's one thing that against Tennessee, it's funny. I want to say, Sal, I'm still not as worried about it as some are. You know, his game against Tennessee, when you say it might have been his best game of his career, and he had that one really awful interception, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, sometimes a golfer hits it in the water and still wins the tournament.
Yeah.
And
you know,
it wasn't, by the way, it wasn't the same kind of interception we've seen between with Cincy and New England. I think he just didn't see the guy.
Yeah.
I don't think he said, I'm just throwing this ball up because I'm trying to make a play.
Yeah.
I think he just had a bad read.
Well, I mean,
and that happens.
I just, if you're going to be, like we going back to, if you're going to be number two in how often you pass, percentage of passes, you're going to have picks.
That's right.
It's just the way it's going to be. And I'll live with it to a point, just like I think most teams live with it to a point. So I don't, you know, he's got a number of picks, and some of them are colossal mistakes, and some of them are off the hip of a receiver.
Yeah.
You know, Baker Mayfield's going through this right now, too. Mayfield leads the league in picks. He's got a couple that are off the hands of a receiver in the end zone, and he's got some that are terrible decisions.
That's right.
So, you know, for Allen, when those numbers come down, as long as they come down, but the passing is still there. That's what I fear. I always fear a team getting too worried about interceptions and turning the ball over that way so that they don't throw it and they just kind of live in a bubble. And I don't get the feeling that that's what this offense is going to do. They're going to try to get the bad decisions out like you always do, but you understand that there are going to be some along the way.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I still think, though, that and I've said this to you guys, that we could, if Josh Allen's the quarterback of the Bills for 10 more years, we are probably talking over that 10-year period about
100 interceptions.
Yeah. About interceptions that yeah. he just shouldn't have made.
Yep.
And he's making bad decisions because that's who he is. It's in his sure. DNA. I think the thing you want to do is you want to limit them and you want to balance them out with more of the big plays.
Yeah. Am I getting the touchdowns?
That's right.
Am I getting the drives? Am I getting the wins?
I can live with those plays if you're giving me the good that goes with it. I can't live with those plays if I'm not getting the good that goes with it. Against New England, I didn't get a lot of the good, so they were magnified by what he did because New England is New England, and he threw those interceptions, and they could not balance them out. In other games he's played, yeah, against Tennessee, he threw a bad interception. But you know what? He had a lot of really good plays that kept his team in the game, and ultimately they were able to win it. I thought he played a good game against Tennessee. He comes out here today. He has a chance to, I think, fatten up a little bit. And, you know, here's the other thing, guys. He's actually played his best football against this team.
Yes,
that they're
he
playing
sure
against
has.
Today.
He sure. Too you bad know? Kiko Alonso's not there. That's the only
right.
thing yeah, I've
right. Now, I know the team is different. I know they have a head coach, a different head coach, but this is a different Miami Dolphins team. I mean, this is a Miami Dolphins team that Josh Allen has done a very good job against in his short career. Some of his best numbers in games have come against this team.
803-0550 to John in Rochester. John, you're on Buffalo Bills game day.
Hey, guys. You know, I think it's going to be a shootout today. I think this is going to be Fitzy's last hurrah. I think he's going to go wild. It's like Babe Ruth in his, one of his last games of his career when he hit the three homers. I think this is going to be Fitzy's coming out party at the end of his career. What do you guys think?
I think you're wrong, John. And if Ryan Fitzpatrick lights up the Bills, I'll be extremely worried and extremely concerned. That should not happen today, and I don't think it's going to happen today.
I don't think it's going to happen. No. I will say, you know, Fitz is he's been a fun story in the league for a long time, and every once in a while he'll show up and surprise people. But this defense,
he may throw a ball that, hey, he got it to his guy. It's a 50-50 ball. His guy beat the Bills guy and gets 7 points and throws it on a 60-yard touchdown. That might happen. That's the one thing to me that if that happens today, I'm going to be like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
If the offense struggles a little bit, I think we kind of know, boy, like they don't have the greatest offense. We know this can happen once in a while, even against a bad team. There's no way this defense should give up a shootout, as John said, to Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Miami Dolphins. This Dolphins team is not good.
Yeah.
And even I don't care who the quarterback is right now for them. They should not. The Buffalo Bills limited Tom Brady to 150 yards.
Yeah.
There's no way that should happen.
There's a police dog, or I believe it may be a drug dog.
His 100-yard dash
yeah.
is
he's
damn impressive.
They're playing amazing. Fetch on the field. I just want to say to the guy that's throwing the ball, I think he has one of those launchers, because that was like an 80-yard throw.
He threw that 80 yards.
It was a heave. And the Dolphins might want to consider signing this guy a receiver. Man, this guy can haul.
There's no doubt about it.
We've got to find out that good boy's name. What's that dog's name?
I don't know.
I got to know it. Anyway.
Sal, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Offensive line for the Bills. You and I have talked about this on Sports Talk Saturdays. We've talked about it halftime. The right tackle position, a bye week. Any change to what they've been doing at the right tackle position with a week off, or do you suspect this still remains a 50-50 split between Cody Ford and Ty Nsekhe if all things are remaining the same from the beginning of the season?
If everybody's healthy, I think it remains the same. Okay. I don't think they make changes there. I think they like Ty Nsekhe to play there, but they're afraid of him, the workload on him, that he won't be available to them as the season goes on. I think that's a reason why he didn't play last game, mm-hmm. which is they had to manage him a little bit. And now he gets the bye week. He comes up. Now he has more time. So I think we're going to see. And now, but here's the other thing. Cody Ford did get banged up the last game.
Concussion, right?
Concussion protocol mm-hmm. he was in. So, you know, I think that for between the two of them now, we're probably looking at the same situation and going forward. I think this happens and stays the whole year, to be honest
okay.
with you.
Okay, that's interesting. I mean, do you think that's a problem? Do you think it's a detriment to this team that they don't really have a guy they could turn to?
What is the alternative?
I'm not sure.
Because here's the thing.
I guess my question
you could say, I'd rather see Ty Nsekhe play right tackle, and I know you would.
Mm-hmm.
But at what expense?
Yeah.
You could lose Ty Nsekhe for,
and then,
for December
and then you have no
games.
Depth. Yeah, then you
that's
have
right.
no depth.
So yeah. that's what you have to think. I agree if you say, I think Ty Nsekhe is a better right tackle than Cody Ford. I'm not disputing that. But at what expense if you put Ty Nsekhe out there for 70 snaps?
Yeah.
You could wind up losing him, and now you have to play Cody Ford 70 snaps.
And you have nobody.
Correct.
Yeah. Nobody
I think
behind
that,
him.
That's the issue they're dealing with, I think.
Devin Singletary today?
Looks like it. Looks like he's going to go. Reports are, I mean, I'll say this. Reports from what Adam Schefter reported overnight, he should play today. That's what he basically wrote, and it was trending that way. We don't know for sure. I'm excited to see him. And look, we know the Bills have slow-played injuries, which is good. They've treated everything with, hey, we're going to give these guys time. We don't want to rush them back. I hope he's well enough healed. It seems like he should be to come out here and really kind of put on an exciting show for this crowd that will be the first time ever seeing him in a Bills uniform. Yeah. That would be really cool.
Yeah, he's not been here for a game yet, which is pretty fun.
Yeah.
Would they, you say they slow-played injuries, and has the slow play already happened, or is there one more week of slow? I mean, we've pointed out he doesn't get a bunch of carries in the first two games as it is. Is 10 carries his normal workload?
It's a good question. I'm interested to see, Jeremy. Now, he has played more snaps than Frank Gore in the games he's been around and available. He just doesn't get the ball as much as Frank Gore. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I expect him to get a normal workload. If that is only 10 carries, maybe 15. I think at the end of the day, we're probably talking about him in double-digit touches, probably 15 to 20 touches total, including maybe a few receptions thrown in.
I'm glad you brought that up. I had forgotten. The opener on that 16 plays that are 18 passes, he was on the field for every one of those.
That's right. It wasn't Frank Gore, but they didn't really give him the ball.
They opened the season with him as their RB1, getting a ton of snaps, but not a lot of carries. So, yeah, that's something to watch for today, how often he's on the field.
Well, and as far as one more week, I think the question that I would have then, when is that time when does he need one more week? I think maybe that was last week. Maybe that was last game. He needed one more week, so we'll give him 2 weeks. And then now he is here, and he's apparently healed up. Taron Johnson is questionable for the game. We don't know about his situation. We'll find out. It would be nice to get him back to see if he can. But look, part of why they've been able to keep Taron Johnson
is how good the other guys
are. Saran Neal has played really good
Dean Marlowe has played very good football.
They all have. So you guys were talking about the depth on my drive in this morning. It's a good point. They've really built their depth well enough that when they have an injury, they don't have to say, boy, we need that guy in the field, right? Taron Johnson is a nice player, but now they've let him heal a little bit, and who knows? Maybe he doesn't play today, but we'll see.
Does that apply for Matt Milano, too?
Matt Milano is, I think that's the type of injury that you might want to hold him out a week. We'll see where they go. The problem there is the linebacker depth isn't great. I mean, I think if you have guys that can play, obviously. What saves the Bills here is they play a lot of nickel, and they don't have to have three linebackers. They can use Saran Neal a lot. Mm-hmm. They can use Dee Marlowe a lot. So I think Maurice Alexander is a guy, I think, that plays in that situation a lot. So even if Matt Milano doesn't play, it'd be nice to have him. I don't know if they want to put him out there right away. They could probably afford to keep him out this week, let him rest a week, and see how he is next week.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. The Bills wearing all red today, by the way.
Yes.
It's a color rush game for the Bills. So maybe you didn't know that, but I just saw a picture of Josh Allen in all red. They wore it against the Colts. Or was that just red tops in the snow game?
No, they had red.
All red.
I don't think they've ever worn red jerseys, white pants.
Okay.
It's all red.
All red.
Who was it last year? Detroit last year.
The Jet Thursday night game.
Yep.
Rex against the Jets, red and green.
Yep.
And there was an all blue. We were talking with Murph about this. All blue when they beat the Packers here.
They've worn all blue a few times. They wore all blue. Every year they've worn all blue here a couple times.
Yeah.
The practice jerseys, Sal, broke my television. With Josh Allen wearing green with the red pants.
Yeah,
that was hard to
see. All of the players wearing red at practice, the offensive players, so therefore the quarterback's non-contact becomes green.
Okay.
And the horn goes off. It's third down, apparently.
All right.
It's third down out there. We'll see. Color rush.
Color rush game. Very good. And, I mean, anything else? This rivalry, it's not really much of one these days, because whether it was the Bills that were down for a while or the Dolphins that now appear to be on their way down for a little while.
Well,
you know, you're probably counting on two wins and a home game in Miami in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and here's the thing. So I know that it's not really a rivalry anymore. But Jeremy, for anybody who grew up watching this team like me, this is the team that was the rival. For me, it's like the Bruins with the Sabres.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know for a lot of people it's the Senators or it's the Maple Leafs. I grew up with Adams Division. I grew up Bills, Dolphins, 80s, Marv Levy, Don Shula, Jim Kelly, Dan Marino, and there are a lot of people like me around, right? So you know what? This means a lot
to
a lot of people.
Yeah.
This game means more to Thurman Thomas probably.
Sure.
This game means more to Jim Kelly. These people, they taught Buffalo to hate this organization no matter the situation.
It's funny because I sit here, and I'm younger than you guys, and – the Dolphins games don't really – so my dad, for the longest time, season ticket holder.
Dolphins, right?
Wouldn't bring me to Dolphins games.
Right.
Because he was just like, it's a lot. Okay,
yeah,
like,
that's right.
You're not ready for – I'll take you to any other game.
He wanted
but
to
I'm
use some language that he wasn't
right. Yes,
so he's
right.
Like, I'm just not going to take you to Dolphins games. I didn't go to Dolphins games until I was like 16. So – but for me, in my generation, it's the Patriots because – I mean, the Dolphins and the Bills didn't win a game against the Dolphins for a decade. It's kind of where we are with the Patriots, like, except it's been more like 2 decades of just pure dominance. So it's weird for me because I don't get up for these games like I do for a Patriots game. Like, I'm up the night before watching film, you know, like, and these games, I don't know. And I mean, you go back and the Dolphins games have meant something. You know, they're at the end of the year where last year, or 2 years ago in 2017, Bills got to beat the Dolphins, take care of business, and they end up making the play. So it's just like the Dolphins games have had meaning, but for the most part, the Dolphins have just been bad, just not good
That's
at football
right.
or fun. They're just not even really fun. Like the Tannehill era was boring. And then before Tannehill, John Beck and
right.
Joey Harrington,
Cleo Lemon,
like, yeah, like it's just.
But
was,
you know what?
What do you?
There's gonna be a stadium full of Cleo people here
Lemon.
Today that grew up hating the Dolphins and loving this rivalry.
Yeah,
and I think that's cool still.
Yeah.
All right. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Final thoughts before we let you go, Sal, and get you off to the game.
I just think that again. Today is a day that I'm not looking for a certain benchmark. It'd be great to have a 300-yard passer, 100 receiver, whatever. It'd be great to score 30 points. Today the Bills just need to win comfortably and have us walk away going, okay, they got out of it comfortably. They weren't threatened. Bring on the Eagles next week. That's a big game. I think that's what you should be looking for today. Don't, as a fan, I want to caution you driving in today. Don't put benchmarks on this team today on how many, what they should do in certain categories. That's not who the Bills are and how they operate. I think today it should be all about going out there, just dominating a team you should dominate, and walking away with a victory and getting to 5-1.
The other side of that, I agree. The other side is if they do throw for 380 and 4 touchdowns, I also don't think that's who they are.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
correct.
Yeah. There's a little bit of
like Lamar Jackson week 1 and the 58 points they gave up or something.
59
like that.
Points, 59. And he has as many touchdown passes
since then
yes. as he did in that game.
Yep. Totally. That's exactly right.
So. It's kind of funny. It's like, you better win by 60, but if you do, it kind of doesn't count either.
Yeah, that's right. It's still not going to take what we see in that game and really think you're that team.
Yeah.
Just
like,
I mean, that's a perfect example is Baltimore. It really is.
Well, enjoy the game, Sal. We'll hear
guys.
From you a little later on during the huddle and halftime and all that good
stuff. Yeah, about to do a Facebook Live, so if people want to jump on that on the WGR Facebook page, it's brought to you by Losi and Ganji, and I'll be talking about my thoughts on this game over there.
Indeed, Sal's All Access Facebook Live on WGR. On the Facebook page is brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. We want to remind you, of course, to gear up for your tailgating, fall tailgating, 3 straight weeks with Federal Meats, from Buffalo's best burgers and pulled pork to must-have party essentials like stuffed mushrooms, banana peppers, chicken wing dip. You can get sub and deli platter trays. You can get a lot of stuff. I always recommend the bacon-wrapped fillets. I recommend the hot Italian sausage patties. I recommend the strip steak. I recommend the stuffed pork chops. They've got everything you need at Federal Meats. You've got next week and the following week to prepare. FederalMeats.com for their locations near you. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Love the football game. You know, we watch film. Even though their record, not where they wanted to be at, but they play hard. You know, we play hard on defense, and you know, we're trying to get a win on Sunday.
Frank Gore revenge game today.
Yeah.
Playing his former team, the Miami Dolphins. Jeremy White, Nate Geary. We talked to Sal Capaccio last segment. That's our segment where we cut to the field for the latest from Sal. It's brought to you by AJ's Tree Service, Western New York's number one tree care provider. Hey, stay tuned following today's game for the Coaches Show with head coach Sean McDermott. Live during the Bills post game, it's brought to you by Northtown Automotive, celebrating 50 years of serving Western New York. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. 803-0550 is our phone number. You can give us a call about today's Bills game, the season, where you're feeling about, you know, what you're feeling about playoff chances. The Bills have a very, very good shot at making the playoffs. It's very much a control-your-own-destiny kind of thing, right? A lot of games left. You got 11 games still to play. But one of the softer schedules in the league, the Jets are the easiest, and the Bills are right near the top in terms of ease of opponent, whatever. It's a week-to-week league. You know, we can say any given Sunday. Two more games against Miami, a game with Washington, a game with Denver, who's not had a good start to the season. Another game against the Jets late in the season. You know, you've got your tough ones. You've got New England and Baltimore maybe tough, and Pittsburgh. We'll see about that one, who's playing quarterback for them by then, if it's Duck Hodges or if it's Mason Rudolph, who is expected to go back in for them.
I'm a big, big Devlin Hodges fan.
Yeah?
Why not? That's a great name. Played Sanford.
I mean,
that's awesome.
People call him Duck. I mean, I'm into
that's,
it.
Yeah, I'm really into
I'm into that, too.
Yeah.
They're on bye this week. The Steelers are. The Browns are on bye this week, so they can't lose again. So, you know, when you're looking at who to root for, I would say the biggest game on who to root for is the Monday nighter, by the way. Tomorrow night is a tune-in game for Patriots-Jets. The Patriots have not been tested. Really.
No.
They open at home, and they blow out the Steelers. And from there, I'm sorry, one team tested them. This team, right? The Bills. They played Pittsburgh and blew them out. They beat this Miami team 43-0. They played Luke Falk and the Jets 30-14. They play the Bills. They get tested. And then it's Washington and that Giants game, actually.
Yeah.
They were tested a little bit in that.
Yeah.
But they end up winning by 21 points. So they've got the Jets. Here's the Patriots' schedule from here. As the Bills, you know, we know their schedule. These three home games, it's Miami, Philadelphia, Washington. In that stretch, the Patriots play at the Jets, home Cleveland, at Baltimore. Can they lose one? Can they lose one of those? You know, we can say, what about the rest of the AFC? What about the playoff picture? Let's do the division instead. They have those three games. After that, they're on the bye.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have these three games. At Philly, Dallas, at Houston, home Kansas City. Four games, sorry.
Wow.
So that stretch,
yeah.
Can they lose one? Two?
If Patrick Mahomes is back.
It's in Kansas City.
Here's the thing that all of those teams.
They play at Houston, who all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but Houston might be good.
All of those teams, much like the Bills, the problem you face when you test the New England Patriots is they know how to win those close games. The Bills, they're learning this year how to win those close games. Houston, I mean, they've got a young quarterback still kind of learning how to win. Baltimore, young court. So it's like all these teams that the Patriots play that could potentially test them, the Patriots are used to winning in those high-pressure games. Those quarterbacks, those young quarterbacks in those teams aren't to a certain extent. But, yeah, I mean, Cleveland has an opportunity to beat them. I would say Houston probably has a pretty good opportunity. Houston's playing pretty darn good right now. I don't know. I feel good that the Patriots could probably lose two out of those. The question is, which teams do you want to beat the Patriots? I don't know that I want the Browns to beat the Patriots. I don't know that I want Baltimore to beat the Patriots. You know, like, those are two teams that you're probably going to be going up against at some point towards the end of the season.
I'm not thinking that way.
No?
You play New England once.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have an opportunity.
If you want to have the conversation about the division, you have to beat them there.
Yeah.
And then you're even. You have to lose fewer games than them. And the way the Bills' schedule shakes out, there are some common opponents, but you both play Baltimore, you both play Cleveland. The difference comes in them playing Houston and Kansas City, and they play them in back-to-back weeks. The Bills' crossover is Tennessee, did it, and Denver. Okay.
Should do it.
So the only difference in the schedule are those two opponents. Can they lose one of those? And if they lose one of those, whether it's to Bill O'Brien and the Texans, or if Mahomes is healthy, you know, you got for the division to be in the mix, you have to get to that New England game tied with them so that you beat them and go ahead. And you know, I don't think it's crazy to think this Bills team could beat New England. They played them close here, and New England got a blocked punt touchdown.
And no fourth quarter for Josh Allen?
Right.
That's still in the back of my mind.
So, when it comes to games to watch for, I think number one is the Monday nighter. If Sam Darnold and the Jets can beat New England, it's already their second time playing the Patriots, but the first one, they didn't have Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's on the road for the Patriots. It's at New York. We'll see. I'll definitely be tuning in. Other games, though, this week, in terms of what matters, you've got Houston and Indy. If we're going to go back to the traditional watch the wild card race, you always root for the team that's out in front. And in this case, that's Houston.
Houston, yeah.
Houston's 4-2, Indy's 3-2. So go ahead and get Indy that third loss. Oakland, Green Bay. All right, root for Green Bay to beat Oakland, get them to 3-3. Jacksonville, Cincinnati, not going to matter, right? L.A., Tennessee, I don't think it matters. They're both 2-4. You want to root for Baltimore to beat Seattle, I suppose, just to get another loss in the AFC. And that's about it. Those are the only games that you're really even watching. Jacksonville, yeah. I mean, you might want Jacksonville to lose to Cincinnati to go to 2-5. But, you know, it's not a...
I would like to see Jacksonville blow up. I mean, Doug Marone's this week is talking about, you know, how he's the only one in the room and... You know, they got to bring the general manager down to answer questions. Like, that's going south. I'd like to see that go south and totally blow up. But otherwise, I mean, there's really not that. The Chargers, to me, are still the most interesting because they were a ton of people's Super Bowl picks. And they have not looked good. And listen, they've got a couple injuries. The Melvin Gordon situation. But that's a team that a lot of people, even with those two, you know, big pieces missing, I think a lot of people are thinking that that was supposed to be the team this year in the AFC. And not only are they not the team, they don't look like a team that's going to rebound and turn into the team people thought. So, yeah, I mean, that's a team that I'm kind of paying attention to. I'd like to watch them kind of just fall off the cliff in general. The more teams that I can eliminate, you know, from that wild card scenario later in the season, the better for me. So it's more so me rooting for losses than it is for me wins over teams, you know?
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy White, Nate Geary, this is Buffalo Bills game day as we gear up for this 1 o'clock kickoff between the Bills and Dolphins. The schedule this year has been fantastic. The weather's been great. Today's another banner day for the weather. We've got next Sunday and the following. And then after that, the home games are Denver, Baltimore, and the Jets. And then that'll close out the home portion of the schedule. Denver is the one that's kind of thrown in there. Baltimore and the Jets are December. And I'll tell you, one thing I'm really excited about, barring a complete collapse, which I just want to say barring a complete collapse, the schedule lines up so that December is going to matter. Even in a collapse, December should matter. The Bills have made themselves in the hunt worthy, even if they blow up and lose to Philadelphia and... who's Cleveland,
right.
Fine. You're still in a good spot. An atmosphere here at this stadium.
In December.
Listen, I've been someone that's been mad about December games for a long time because they're never really in the mix. We were talking earlier about the rivalries between the Bills and Dolphins. An entire generation of Bills fans kind of had December games as the blackout games.
Yeah.
Where games were blacked out, so people weren't coming. You couldn't see them on TV. If you did come, wide open hallways and not crowded bathrooms because they're out of the race. Or it's late in the season, and the best you can do is, hey, you know what? Let's beat the Jets and knock them out of the playoffs and have fun in the snow against the Colts. There's always a sideshow. This stadium to be sold out against Baltimore on, I think it's December 8th.
Sign me up.
I just can't wait to be here for that. To be here for what will probably be the most meaningful December game since the Bills
lost to Pittsburgh,
which I think was in January, if I'm not mistaken. It might have been a January 4th kind of game. That was before the Super Bowl got moved. No, it wasn't. Anyway, it's not important.
It was December, and I was at the game. That'll be the most meaningful game. But even then, that game had a lot of meaning. But it had
January. It was January 2nd.
Wow, you were right.
It was a January game.
Wow.
So, most meaningful December game.
Yeah, in two decades. Two decades. Yeah, 20 years.
And not only the most meaningful, but the first?
Yeah.
There are probably games along the way they were in the hunt that they needed to get wins. Like maybe Tennessee showed up here on a December, or they needed a win and they needed some help. And of course, that year, 2004, they would have had down the stretch a good run and won some games. But they were trying to come from behind the whole time. This potential division race and wild card race sets the Bills up as playing from the front, where every week is important. Even this one. I mean, sure, you expect them to win. It doesn't mean it's not important. It's an AFC win. It's a divisional win. New England's going to get two of these, you got to get two of these. If New England sweeps the Jets, you've got to sweep the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got to get that other game back against New England in December and let the chips fall where they may, see if you can beat them on a tiebreaker, which is possible. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Fun talking about a fun year. Tammy tweets in, squish the fish. 803-0550, you can join us on the phones, or you can just hang out and listen. Be sure to tune in today at 12:30, following the roundtable with Eric Wood and Sean McDermott. It's brought to you by Lawler & Witkowski, Buffalo's local team of IRS tax problem solvers. Visit irsdistress.com. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
That's any game. You know, you don't want to give any team life coming in. Whether if they're playing well, playing bad, doesn't matter. You want to go out there, stop the run, force them to put the ball in the air, try to get takeaways, and from there, see what you can do as a football team. It's always that same mentality. You know, we're not gonna change it this week because they might have been struggling or they're 0-1, whatever. But they've had some good spurts of playing good football, and we gotta prepare like they're gonna come in and do that.
Micah Hyde on today's matchup between the Bills and Dolphins. Good morning. This is Buffalo Bills Game Day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. We'll roll right up to that 1 o'clock kickoff here on a beautiful day at New Era Field. Jeremy White with Nate Geary here from the Northwest Broadcast Booth. Last segment for this show, then we get our first huddle and roll in all the usual characters. But time for Sweet Tailgate Trivia with Jim Stelliano, presented by Country Sweet. It's all about the sauce, and by Dr. Beyer Optical. For a look that's on fire, call 646-EXAM.
Thanks, guys. It's a beautiful morning out here in front of the field house is where we'll start things off today. Got my new friend Chris here with me. Chris, what's the deal? Where are you from?
I'm from Cheektowaga, Jim.
Yeah, so you're local. You didn't have to come far, and something smells awfully good over here, and it looks good, too. What? Paint this picture for the listeners. Let them give them a taste of what you're grilling up here.
Oh, Jim, just making some breakfast burritos here with some turkey, ham, you know what I mean? Putting some country sweet sauce on it, and we'll go from there.
We'll see about the country sweet sauce. If you get the answer correct to this question, I can give you all the country sweet sauce you need. So the last time the Bills and Dolphins met was December 30th last year. Buffalo down Miami 42-17. Josh Allen threw for 224 yards in the win. Who was the rushing leader for Buffalo in that game? It's a tough one, right?
Yeah, it is. I'm going to say Josh Allen.
Yes, you got it. Josh Allen, 9 carries for 95 yards and 2 touchdowns. Any quick thoughts on the game today?
I'm going to say the Bills win pretty big. Miami's, struggling, but we're not, so it's going to be a good game.
Yes, I like the way you think. All right, guys, we'll send it back to you.
Thanks very much, Jim, for the tailgate trivia. Enjoy the game out there in the lots today. Have a good time. Be safe. Pace yourself. We've got 3 straight weeks of this, Nate.
That's right. No need to go too hard today.
3 straight weeks. Hey, the Sabres, by the way, they won again. I was jokingly thinking when the Bills went on bye, the Sabres play 7 games between the Bills' last 2 football games, and they only lost one of them in regulation. Pretty good. Pretty good for the Sabres.
Yeah.
So back from a road trip, going 2-1, and they're home again tomorrow or Tuesday. I'm sorry, Tuesday. The Sharks will be here. They just played the Sharks and just beat the Sharks. And San Jose comes in for a game on Tuesday, and then the Rangers and the Red Wings. So
I'm gonna go to my first game. I decided Tuesday night.
Good.
I'm gonna go.
Very good.
And they deserve it.
The next Buffalo loss will be when? It's probably going to be the Sabres because the Bills.
It has to be.
The Bills have another week here.
If it's not the Sabres.
Philadelphia next week, though.
Yeah.
You know, the Eagles. That'll be an interesting matchup. I look forward to getting to that day and sitting here talking about the Bills being 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Eagles, while they are not right now looking like a powerhouse, I think they do have respect.
They do.
And if this Bills defense, it comes down to who have you stopped? Who have you shut down? They shut down the Patriots. But that's just the one offense that really gets any credit. The Eagles' offense, if you shut them down, you'll get
offense.
Credit.
Yep.
If you shut down the Ravens, the Cowboys, their offense is out here. The Cowboys' offense moves the ball.
They do.
And they run it well, and Dak Prescott's good.
Yeah, they're number one in yards.
He's had a tough Cowboys. Couple of weeks, but you do face some better offenses down the stretch. I think Baltimore's offense is number one in the league in terms of yards. Up there, right there with the
Cowboys.
Yeah,
they're right there with the Cowboys.
Right with the Cowboys.
Yep.
They're number one rushing the ball
for
because
sure.
Lamar Jackson,
yep.
And Mark Ingram, what they do there. So there are bigger tests on the way, but That doesn't mean you can flunk this one. So, you know, get through it. Get through it against the Dolphins today, and we'll see you next week for that. But we're going to take a break. We're not going anywhere. We're coming right back for the first huddle. Jody Biasi joins us as we roll things here on the pregame show. So coming up next, the pregame huddle with Nate, Joe, and me. That is presented by Admar Construction Equipment and Supplies. Equipment you need when you need it. That's on the way next here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.